Liberty, brother. We love you, son. Come preach to us tonight.
Thank God for the privilege. He's blessed us to be back with you folks again this evening. I truly count it an honor to be back with you tonight. I thank God for the opportunity that he's given us to stand before you once again and ask you that you would just
bless you, Lord.
Pray for us just for a few moments of time while I stand before you tonight, that God will show up and begin to give to you tonight what you stand in need of. I don't know what you need tonight, but I know that God is, he's able to look down, he's able to touch you in an area that you need touched in and able to help you in the situation that you're in right now. He's still God, and beside him there's none other. He's not changed his mind. He's not changed his plan. He's not changed his destination and as far as where he's at, but he's God, and beside him there is none other tonight. Been the Lord's business this evening in the Romans chapter 2 is where our mind is at. I need your prayers tonight. Well, if you want us to stand before you this evening, that God will begin to bring this out the way that he would have it brought out. I begin to think today as I'm sitting there reading and so forth, I begin to think about judgment. And judgment is something that you don't hear a whole lot of much in a land today. Judgment is something that people don't want to talk very much about, because judgment, for the most part, is final. When a judgment has been rendered, it's final. It's very seldom, even in our land today, is judgments overturned. Sometimes they are. But in God's judgment, it's final. When God says something, it's final. When God shuts the door, it's over. That opportunity, that avenue is closed. When God says no, it's it. You ain't going to change his mind. And that's our thought on our mind this evening. So, been the Lord's business tonight, Romans chapter 2. If you got a mind to and willing to do so, let us stand for the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We'll read verse 1, 2, and 3. And then we'll skip down to verse 11 and read down to verse 16. Y'all pray real sweet for me. And I like what Paul said in 3 and 1 of 2 Thessalonians. Said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have a free course tonight. The Bible reads like this, Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And he says, therefore. Now, why did Paul begin to say therefore? Because of all that he said back in chapter 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, oh man, that's our thought this evening. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. Verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. I like that. Against them which commit. Now think about that for a moment. Such things. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's a question. Yeah. Now skip over to verse 11, and we'll read down to verse 16. For there is no respect of persons with God. I like that. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. What's he talking about? For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the what? The doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Almost like a tongue twister there. Which shew the work of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or also excusing one another. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, Paul says, according to my gospel. Why did Paul say my gospel? That's a whole message in itself right there. You may be seated in the house of God. I begin to think, Brother Kevin, as we talked a little bit today about this thing called judgment. We're everyone judgment-bound people. If you're breathing today, you're a judgment-bound person. If you have entered into this course of this walks of life, you are a judgment-bound individual, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not.
You are a judgment-bound person. You're going to stand in judgment. I'm going to stand in judgment one day after a while. Don't know when that's going to be, but look around. You realize it's not going to be much longer until God calls this thing to record. And I begin to think, as Paul began to open up in chapter 2 right here, you'll find back in chapter 1, Paul began to rehearse and begin to tell them. He said in verse 16, says, "Boys, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto faith, to salvation to them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You'll find in the book of Romans how that Paul, you'll find here that Paul always wanted to go to the people there at Rome. You find in chapter 1, Paul said, "Boys, it's my heart. I want to come and be with you." God did not allow Paul to go when Paul wanted to, though. Sometimes, folks, if we're not careful, we get our nose all bent out of shape because we don't get to do what we want to do at the time we want to do it in. But you see, God's in charge of this thing, and He's got the right time and the right place in which we will do things if we will just get our heart and mind tuned up with Him. Sometimes we want to do it our way, and when we try to get it our way, we can totally mess everything up sometimes. That's why we need to always be conscious and be sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit, to be led by God. Paul wanted to go to Rome, and he thought, "Boys, when I get down to Rome, I can begin to share with them and begin to help them when I get down there." Well, God finally allowed Paul to go to Rome, sure enough, as he's on his last journey. Listen, but when Paul made his trip to Rome, it wasn't the way that Paul wanted to go, no doubt. He didn't go as a guest. He didn't go as a sightseer. He didn't go as a tourist. He went as a prisoner, strapped down in a prison cell. Listen, as he made his trip into Rome, and when he got there, he began to open up and preach to them. And you'll find here in the book of Romans what Paul had to say to them. And now we come down to chapter 2. It opens up with Paul saying, "Therefore," why? Because he began to go back and tell them from Romans chapter 1 verse 18 all the way to chapter 3 verse 20. You'll find when Paul begins to rehearse to them how guilty that mankind is in the sight of God. You see right now, Kevin, I'm looking at a bunch of guilty people. I'm looking at a bunch of people. Listen, you are guilty of the sin that you have committed. I'm guilty of the sin I've committed. You can't get out of that. And guess what? God has judged sin. Listen, He judged it on the cross when He had to look from His Son, turn His back on His own Son. Why? The Bible said in 5:21, "For he who knew no sin, he became sin, that the righteousness of God might be in him." Listen, why is that? Because of me and because of you. He took your sin and my sin and nailed them on Calvary's cross. There always has to be a payment for the penalty of sin in our life today. Amen. Oh, listen, I told them this other day. Listen, in the school systems, you come around October, it's time for us to begin to choose our insurance plan. Listen, you can go. You can get 70-30 insurance. You can get 80-20 insurance. Listen, you can even get 85-15 insurance if you want to pay a little bit more. There's some companies out there, they may even offer you 90-10 insurance if you want to pay a little bit more. I thank God He don't work that way, Jamie. I don't serve a 90-10 God. God will take care of 90% of it and leave me with 10% to deal with on my own. He don't work that way. Listen to me. I cannot pay of the penalty of my sin. Listen, I'm not strong enough. I'm not pure enough. Listen, I'm not perfect enough to pay for my sin. Thank God it's 100-0. That's why 3:30 of John says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." It's got to be more about Him and less about me. Listen, and because of sin, that brings judgment in the life of mankind. Amen. Oh, what's he say here in verse 1? Therefore, thou art what? Inexcusable. Listen, there's no excuse, you see, folks. Number one, as you look at this, we are going to an inescapable judgment. Listen, there's no way out of it. There's no excuse. Listen, on judgment day, a lot of people can't even want to offer, and you hear it a whole lot in the line of work you do. A lot of excuses why mankind do what they do. And no doubt some of you do as well. You may even offer some of those excuses yourself. I have. You see, sometimes, boys, when we get caught with our hand in a cookie jar, we want to try to offer some excuse to try to justify why we're doing what we're doing. The same way today, boys. Listen, no doubt there'll be a lot of excuses that will be offered on that day of judgment. Oh, but let me go ahead and let you know in on it right now. Those excuses are worthless tonight. God never accepted excuses back then. Even when he was talking to Moses, and Moses began to offer all kinds of excuses why he couldn't go. God said, go. Hey, listen, you see, folks, God, he ain't God. Time to listen to all our flimsy excuses, no matter how big that we think they may be, or no matter how justifiable we think they may be, it doesn't work with God.
Amen.
When he says, when he gives an answer, listen, whether we like it or not, it's final. Listen, so we're going to an inescapable judgment. There's no excuses on that day. Not only is there no excuses on that day, listen, there's also no exceptions on that day either. Oh, you say, preacher, listen, I'm grandfathered in. Listen, I've been in this way a long time. Mama and Papa, listen, they've been there. They're charter members of the old church. And I'm part of that family. God's just going to grandfather me in. You need to wake up and get out from under the rock you're under. You're full of nobody but yourself. No exceptions on that day. I don't care if you're a church member. I don't care if you put all your money in the bank. That's in the bank, here in the offering plate. No exceptions on that day. Judgment. Listen, I don't care if you're the preacher. Look at me right now. Kevin, if we could look into the heart of man today, if God give us that right, how many so-called preachers wind up in hell because that they're not truly saved by God's grace?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, no exceptions.
Amen.
You may be a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
No exceptions. How many Sunday school teachers are over here teaching in congregations across this land that has never tasted of God's amazing grace?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't care if you're a deacon. Listen, no exceptions. How many deacons, listen, are doing that office and they've never been saved in the first place? Listen, I don't care if you're a good mommy or you're a good daddy. Listen, good people don't go to heaven. Folks, saved people go to heaven. Your goodness, you may be good to your family. That's a good thing to do. You may help your neighbors. That's wonderful. Listen, you may do good and do put in a good day's work. That's a good thing. Listen, but that will not get you one inch into heaven's country. No exceptions. Oh, listen, I don't care the situation, whatever you may be in this life. On judgment day, boys, there's no excuses and there's no exceptions. Number three, on the inescapable judgment, there's also no exemptions on that day. Listen to me now. You say, preacher, I get exempted from doing this, or I get exempted from doing that because I've already already put my time in over here. There's been times on the job when the principal would look at me and said, you don't got to do this or you don't got to go there because you worked the ball game. You don't have to go and do this because you've done and already put your time in over here. You don't got to go over here and do that. You get exempted from that particular responsibility. Look at me right now. There's no exemptions on Judgment Day. I don't care how much time you put in. You're judgment bound this evening, folks. Inescapable judgment. And Paul said, thou art inexcusable, old man. Why would he say that? Because he began to show them here and began to tell them because of what they were doing at them. Because they were going out here and they were trying to convince people or trying to tell people or trying to judge people of the deeds they were doing, how wrong they were. And what did they do? They turned around, Jamie, and they done the same thing that they was telling other people not to do. What is that? What is that?
Hypocrite.
One word. That's exactly right. Hypocrite. You're nothing but a stinking hypocrite. Oh, listen. You try to tell people not to do this or not to do that. Listen, preachers get up and tell and preach against this and preach against that. And the next time you see them, they're out there doing exactly what they stood up and preached not to do. I don't care who they are. They're nothing but a stinking hypocrite. Listen, look at me now. Jesus looked at a bunch of people one day that was nothing but just a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of Pharisees. Listen, and John the Baptist looked at them one day, boys,
yes,
as they come out on the bank. He said, hey, you think I'm hard? He said, hey, you generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Listen right now, we're facing an inescapable judgment tonight. Oh, listen, there are two judgments that are going to house all of the human race. Listen, two judgments that will house all of the human race. Listen, past, present, and future, you're going to one of two judgments. 14 and 10, the book of Romans, as Paul says, shall we not all? Now that word all, you got to understand and take it into context. First of all, Paul's doing the writing. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, you'll find it. And that word all right there, listen, who's he talking to? You see, Paul never wrote a letter to sinners. Paul never wrote a letter to the lost and dying world out there. Boys, this is getting too big, Kevin. Listen, but Paul was talking to the congregation. Paul was talking to the born again believers. Now you got to understand something. When Paul would show up, he would go to the Jews first. They rejected him, and he would turn and go to the Gentiles. The most of the people in Paul's day were Jews. Yeah, they was. But he would go and he would preach to the non-Jewish people, which are the Gentiles. He said, shall we not all, that's everybody in the congregation, shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat. If you want to look at it, what's that mean? We're going to stand in judgment. But preacher, I'm a Christian. Preacher, I'm saved. Thank God for that. You're still going to face judgment. What am I going to be judged for? Glory to God. You're not judged on whether you're saved or lost. Listen, nobody will stand in judgment that day to be judged on whether they are saved or lost. That happens when you close your eyes in death.
Amen.
You're standing account on that day.
Yeah.
Because of the deeds that have been done in the body.
I know.
Oh, And Paul looked at him in chapter 2, verse 1. Let me read it to you again. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Wherefore, wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Why? For thou that judgest dost the same thing. Listen, not only do people, the church going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but Kevin, there's a second judgment. That will hold the other part of the human race. Go to Romans chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. Drop down to verse 11. Now verse 7, a lot of people, they want to take chapter 20 and try to do a whole lot with those first 10 verses. Listen, you can do with it what you want to. Let's just take what it says, all right? When the 1,000 years has expired. You're looking at a preacher right now. I believe in 1,000 years because the Bible teaches the 1,000 years. I'll leave that for right now. We'll come back and grab that maybe some other time. Listen, but when the 1,000 years had expired, guess what? Then the second resurrection before the great white throne judgment.
Amen.
Oh, I ain't got time to get into all that right now. That's a whole lot. But those people, listen, that are not at the judgment seat of Christ, they will begin to be presented at the great white throne judgment, past, present, or future. Listen, who are those, preacher? The Bible tells us that. And John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, on whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. Listen, and the dead, small and great, were then brought up, and they were judged according to what? According to the deeds that were done. Listen, the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and they were judged by according to the deeds done that was written in those books.
Right.
Listen, we got an inescapable judgment, but we've also got an inexcusable judgment as well. Listen, you'll find back here in chapter 2, drop down to verse 2 now, as Paul began to write and began to tell them. He said, boys, you're out there right now and you are condemning them and you're judging them because of what they're doing, and you're turning around doing the same thing. Not only is it an inescapable judgment, it's also an inexcusable judgment. But why is that? Simply because they were condemning the servant for what they were doing. You see, the Bible said in 10 and 3 of the book of Romans, for they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. Listen, and not remembering and not submitting themselves unto the righteousness of God. What do you mean, preacher? They're nothing but a bunch of self-righteous lunatics out there. Have you ever seen a self-righteous person? You don't do very much with them. The worst thing you can do is argue with them because they're idiots. They're blooming certified, card-carrying, shirt-wearing idiots. Oh, listen, self-righteousness, listen, is a stench in the nostrils of God. Listen, go to 6 and 16 in the book of Proverbs, and it tell you, guess what? What's the number one thing that God hates? Is a proud look. Why is that? Because when pride begins to fester itself, listen, it births self-righteousness in a person. I'm better than everybody. Look down at your nose because they don't measure up to my level. And listen, and everybody's wrong in your eyes because they don't do it the way you do it. They don't believe it the way you believe it. Same way with these boys here. They was condemning the servant because, listen, they knew what the law said. They knew all about what Moses began to write down. And because they wasn't living up to it, listen, they wanted to make sure, make themselves look good. They began to condemn everybody else. And then what did they do? Listen, they condemned the servant and they turned right around and they committed the same sin.
Yeah.
Oh, are you hearing me tonight?
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? There is an inexcusable judgment that will house all of them. Let's look at verse 3. Hang on to verse 2. There's one word I want to come back to. And verse 3. And thinkest thou, Paul began to ask them a question. Listen what you're doing. Not only did you condemn the servant, not only did you commit the sin, thinkest thou this, old man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same? Then here's the question. You think but when you do this that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Listen, you condemn the servant and you turn around and commit the same sin. You have now entered into the consequences of the Son. Listen to me right now. If we're not careful tonight, boys, the Bible said in 1 and 22 of the book of Romans, right back up there, listen what Paul began to say. He said, professing themselves to be wise, they what? They became fools. Why is that? Because they were seeing themselves as something greater than what God was thinking of them.
Amen.
And they found themselves to be fools, to be idiots. Oh, listen. Have you ever met people that way? You ever dealt with people that way? When everything is, as long as it's going in their way, as long as it's going the way they want it to go, everything's real good. Where is the worst place you can find people like that at?
Church.
Right in the church house. Who are the worst people you can talk to that have that mentality sometimes? Preachers. Preachers are the worst in the world. Listen, I'd rather talk to a bunch of drunks than I would a bunch of preachers. Why is that, buddy? Because of this. All preachers want to do, they ain't over talking about the love of God, Charlie. They ain't over talking about, listen, how great and how wonderful God is. You get a bunch of preachers together, it ain't very long till they start bringing up topics that they know you disagree on.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they can stir up an argument and stir up a fight. They want to show people how wonderful they are and how stupid you are because you don't see it the way they see it. Oh, you've seen them too, huh? You know what I'm talking about. Listen, not only are we going to face a judgment, folks, that's inescapable, we're also going to face a judgment that's inexcusable. Listen, now let's drop over to chapter verse 12 and find out what happens over here, because we're also going to face an inevitable judgment. An inescapable, an inexcusable, and ultimately an inevitable judgment. Look what it says. In verse 12, for as many as have sinned, how many is that? That's every single one of them, isn't it? Have sinned without law. Now, who is he talking about there? Paul beginning to see there's nobody that's ever from Adam, the first man on planet Earth, until the last one that ever was born and died. Listen, there's sin in every single person. Listen, then what happened, preacher, to them? What the Bible say? For as many as are sinned without the law, they what? They shall also perish without the law. That's them people from Adam up until Moses. They didn't have no written law to them. Listen, drop down to verse 13 and there you'll see it. They were the law unto themselves. Their conscience became their law. Look around to this world out here. What did 8 and 5 of the book of Romans say? Boys, I'm losing you. You all pray hard. Stay with me now. Listen, what did he say? A carnal mind is enmity with God, and it's not what?
Yeah,
it's not subject to the law of God.
Neither
indeed can be. What's that mean? That means this lost world out here is not subject to the law of God. Listen, does that excuse them? Does that exempt them? Or listen, no, it does not. That simply means, boys, if you're out there under sin, you're going to be judged in that. Listen, you're not going to be judged by what the Word of God under the law, listen, under the grace plan is all about. Oh,
It takes a whole lot of explaining. I ain't got a whole lot of time left. But listen to me. What's he saying here? Listen, it's an inevitable judgment. You got the judgment of the sinner. What's Paul saying here? That them are without the law. Them that are from Moses or from Adam all the way up to Moses. They will be judged. Listen, by their conscience. Think about it. How did they know? Listen, how to do things that are right? How did they know to go and maybe help somebody out? Listen, boys, when you're conceived, or when God created you in your mommy's womb, he placed also in you that ineptibility to know right from wrong. It don't take something written down to teach you right from wrong. Listen, think about it. When a little baby is born, it begins to grow up. It don't take it very long to get into mischief. It don't take it very long to do them things that's not right.
Yeah. Amen.
Did you teach them to do wrong? I pray to God you don't. You got to teach them to do right. Yeah, you do. But what happens? That's already inside of them. God knows what he's doing. He never says, oops. He does not make any mistakes. Listen. So them that are without the law are going to be judged without the law. Oh. Then those from Moses all the way up until Christ, they had the written law to them. Only Israel, though. What about the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites and the Philistines and listen, and all the Amalekites and the Ammonites and all the Moabites? What about all them people? I had a man ask me here about a year or so ago about what is wrong, what happened to all them people in the Old Testament, listen, that died, that were not Israel, that were not Jews, that did not have the written law to them. You'll find them right here in these two verses. Let's drop down to verse 13 now. And that answer your question. Verse 13 and 14. For not the hearers of the law shall are just before God, but the what? The doers of the law shall be justified. Verse 14 answers that question. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law. Who are Gentiles? It's everybody that's not Israel. They're Gentiles. Listen, whether you American, whether you Japanese, Chinese, Korean, it does not make any difference. If you are not of the lineage of Abraham on the Jewish side, you are a Gentile. Listen, do by nature the things contained in the law. What's that mean, preacher? Listen, they know to do right. They know when right is wrong. And listen, and they do them things. Listen, that's what they're going to be judged by. These having not the law are what? A law unto themselves. Listen, you've got the written law and you got the law written in their heart, which is consciousness. Listen, and God's always, you say, preacher, how does God do all that? Listen, he's not fair. You're absolutely right. God is not fair, but he is just.
Amen.
He is just. 18:25. I love this scripture. When Abraham and Lot had this conversation, and Lot went out and done his own thing. Listen, give me a few more minutes, I'll shut up. Listen. And God began to have a conversation with Abraham, and Abraham began to talk to God about, Lord, would you destroy that city for 50? And got all the way down to 10. And God said, for 10, I will not destroy the city. And he began to talk. Abraham said this, in 18:25 of the book of Genesis, last part of that verse, shall not the judge of all the earth
do
right? He's not fair. He doesn't give you the same as he gives me. He doesn't give me the same as he gives you. He's not fair. Maybe you can handle more than I can.
Amen.
Listen, but God is just in what he does. Listen, you've got an inevitable judgment. You've got the judgment of the sinners. You've also got the judgment by the standard. There you'll find real quick, when God begins to usher in humanity to stand before the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne, there's two standards that God's going to look at and judge humanity. Number one, the standard of judgment is the perfection of his son Jesus Christ. God's going to look at humanity and he's going to judge them on the perfection
of what his son did and who his son was while he walked here on planet Earth. You say, preacher, I can't measure up to God. I can't measure up to Jesus Christ. Folks, this is what we got to measure up with. Amen. This is our measuring stick. There's no excuses. There's no excuses. You say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Folks, there was a time God winked at ignorance.
Yeah.
Now he what?
Yeah.
Now he commands men everywhere
to repent.
Yeah. Ignorance is no excuse.
No.
You say, preacher, I just don't know. I've had them stand in the parking lot and mad as a hornet at me and said, I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving this place because you all tell me to study and I can't read. Well, whippity-doo. You can have somebody read it to you.
Amen.
Get a phone for land's sakes, or get a computer for land's sakes. Listen, there's apps out there that will read it to you. You say, preacher, I can't afford a phone. Well, find somebody to read it to you. There's no excuses anymore.
No.
Say, preacher, that's hard. I can't help that a bit.
Yep. Preacher.
People are dying because they bring up these excuses. I did not know. I just don't know. Folks, this thing's been written down a long time.
Yeah.
Written down a long time. God's not changed. Not changed his plan a bit. Listen, number two, not only are you going to be measured up to Jesus Christ, the perfection of the standard of judgment, but we're also going to be judged on the relationship we have with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Folks, we're judgment-bound people. It's inescapable, it's inexcusable, and it's inevitable.
Yeah.
We're judgment-bound people. Oh, listen, you see too many times, folks. Listen, look at verse 12 once again. And Paul makes it plain that the basis of the condemnation of the judgment is based on what? Not on what we know.
Yeah.
It's based on what we do. We're not justified by hearing the word. We're justified by what? By doing the word. You're not going to be judged. Look at me right now, and I'll shut up with this. You're not going to be judged by how much you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if you can quote it from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. You're not going to be judged by how much you know. Well, preacher, then I don't need to know anything. Then you're so shallow your toenails ain't even wet. That's all you're getting.
Amen.
Listen, you need to know all you can know about this. But you're not going to be judged on what you know. Uh-uh. We're going to be judged on what we do. We're going to be judged on what we do. You see, that's what God is bringing in all those from Adam all the way to Moses. They're not judged on what they know because they didn't know the law. They're not all the other Gentiles in the Old Testament. They're not going to be judged on what they know because the law wasn't written to them. They're going to be judged on what they do. Me and you, we're not going to be judged on how much we know of God's word.
No.
We're going to be judged on how much we do God's word.
That's good, brother.
Oh, listen. There's a whole lot more into this. Listen, also you got the judgment of the Savior or by the Savior. Also, it's also going to be an individual judgment. It's an impartial judgment. Keep on going on and on and on. But folks, we're judgment-bound people. We're not getting out of it. You say, preacher, I die today. You're going to judgment. 9:27 of the book of Hebrews. For it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this is what? Is the judgment. How many times have we gone through this life and you say, preacher, I don't do that. I don't judge them people. I don't do this or do that. What does judge mean? What does judge? How many times have you heard people say, well, don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
Don't judge me. You ain't got no right to judge me. Listen.
You done judged, buddy.
It's already been judged, folks.
Yeah,
your life has already been judged by this book.
Too late.
Listen, judgment means, all judge means is you form
an opinion.
That's it. You look at a tree and it begins to sprout apples. Adam, what do you call that tree? You ain't judging that tree. You form an opinion. You make a statement. Listen, you come to a conclusion. If there's apples on that tree, Bubby, then that's an apple tree.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got somebody that says that they're saved and they never come to church. They never testify. They never pray. They don't know nothing about God's word. Listen, what can you say about that individual? Something's wrong somewhere. Listen, they're playing games with God and they never got it the first time. Well, listen, God does not give us the right to judge a man or woman's salvation. But listen, and look at me right now. You all may disagree with me. I don't know if I've ever said this or not. You may disagree what I'm about ready to say, and that's okay. Listen, and also, God didn't make us fruit inspectors either.
No, sir.
I've heard them preach it all my life. I'm a fruit inspector. Show me. Show me. I don't have the right to inspect your fruit. Now, I know it by way you act.
That's right.
You will tell on yourself.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's watch 20, 32 and 23 book of Numbers say.
Be sure.
Your sins will what?
Find you out.
Will find you out. Look around, folks. Look around. People, you know some people this. I'm trying to, we got business meeting, I'm trying to hurry. The only people that bring up that card, that pull out that card says, don't judge me. The only people that pull out that, folks, they're guilty already.
Guilty. That's right.
The only people that are doing that are people that's already guilty.
Amen.
Of what they're doing. And they're trying to justify in their own mind that what they're doing is okay.
Yep.
So they begin to talk about all these other things. Well, you ain't got no right to this. Folks, what does the Bible say? 7:1 in the book of Matthew. Judge not lest you be judged. And whatever judge you judge somebody with, listen, you're going to be met of that same judgment. Listen, if you judge somebody, make sure you give a righteous judgment. Make sure you give a righteous judgment. But you see, so many times if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in the same boat. And we begin to condemn somebody of things, of what they're doing. And we turn around and do the same thing. You say, preacher, I'm not doing that. What's your thought process? What's your thought process? Bible says in 23:7 of the book of Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart,
so is he.
You say, preacher, I'm not doing them things, but is your thought process, are they pondering them things? How is it with you? We're judgment-bound people. It's inescapable. It's inexcusable, and it's inevitable. Get ready for judgment. It's a coming. May God bless you, Brother Kevin.
That's all.